Art and Labor. It's a podcast about art.
We're the
labor.
Extremely professional art podcast. You might have seen us in the art newspaper. You might have seen us in Canadian Art News. You might have seen us.
You might have seen us in a coffee shop, and you might have walked up to us and been like, wait, are you that person from Art and Labor? And then we'd be like, yeah, unless you walked up to someone else and it wasn't us.
Yeah. We're kind of famous.
We're a little bit, it's almost like more than 100 people know who we are. And it's too much.
I was trying to make like a joke, but I like it sounds too sincere. It sounds like I'm being, I don't know. It's like too straddling.
We got used in a lawsuit or some shit.
No, Lucia, don't.
I didn't say anything.
It's not a lawsuit.
We got used in a lawsuit.
Arbitration.
And now people are in jail because of us. Because we actually vanguarded a revolution. And remember that, though? Our faces were covered in the blood of the enemy.
Dude, I remember seeing my face. Somebody hand drew a wanted sign for me. And I had a bounty.
Dude, and you look chiseled as fuck.
Yo, I looked cool. I looked cool as hell.
Yeah. I was like, damn, I forgot you had that scar.
Dude, and the thing is, like, the bounty amount is, like, it's, like, the power level, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not going to say how much it is, otherwise our listeners are going to be like, what? Wait a minute. Why am I giving to a Patreon when I could just be collecting
these
your
heads.
Bounty?
Yeah. 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 Well, that's on you guys. You have to go to the right message boards to find my...
Yeah. Super chiseled fucking illustration. Those cops, dude, yeah, they've been taking some lessons. They got chops. They got going on.
Yeah, I cop update for this episode. Let's do a regular segment starting now.
Where the cops are.
Where what have the cops done to fuck with you and yours this week? or you know, recently. My tenants union had a weird run in with the cops. This was a while ago. Like, basically they were trying to pressure our city council representative to sign on for universal rent control. So they asked for a meeting with her at the local library, but the city councilwoman brought cops with her.
Well, of course, you know, she's like a pretty important public figure and she needs a security detail.
This is so incredibly fucked. And the other cop watch this morning, I finally got a photo of the unmarked cop car. I mean, I have actually, this is like, I have a couple photos, but I got a pretty good photo of the thing that they do is they'll sit on my block and like from the front and the back, it's just a normal car. And the side says NYPD. But there's no way of knowing if you're just like driving by that it's a cop car.
Totes.
It pisses me off so much and I don't understand why it's allowed and I hate it. It's just to build on the unmarked cops in the subway.
They're
also
everywhere.
In the cars and they're just everywhere.
They ride taxis. The taxi will just blow up. I don't know.
Oh, we talked about on the snack cast too, being in Penn Station with the giant machine guns. If you guys don't support us on either Drip or Patreon,
then support us.
Please
by
do it.
Kicking a cop in the nuts.
Or yeah, well that'd be better, honestly, than money if you're
Yeah, just go for it.
But I'm saying we do a bonus snack cast where we're more gossipy and loosey-goosey.
Yeah, so if you just feel like
even more,
hang.
Could you imagine even more?
Even looser. Like sometimes I forget to close my mouth and drool comes out. No, you know, I like to take cops with me places though sometimes. So I realized that I'm in danger most days. And I call my cops up. I wake up and I'm like, oh, hey, where are you guys at? And then I roll over and the cops are there, actually. But I like to use the phone to talk to them because we're professional. It's not like that, you know. So then they get out of bed and I get out of bed. And then I'm like, oh, this is so great. And I ask them to check my clothes for me. And they're like, it's fine. These are just clothes. And then I get myself together. We go outside. If there's a puddle or something, I'm like, hey, and I clap my hands and they lie down in the puddle and I walk over them.
Oh.
Because that's the kind of privilege you get when you're white, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
like the cops, they just work for me so hard.
Yeah.
And I love it so much.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I should call on my personal cops more to just, like, do my chores.
Yeah, you didn't know. You get 3 apiece if you're white. It's same rules. Yeah, but honestly, fuck the police. Jesus Christ. I was like, all right, geez, they have to be doing something like sort of all right. And then one of them tried to kill me when I was riding my bike because I was riding with, you know, I was like in my little bike path and I was doing the right thing. Honestly, if you ever see me riding a bike, I'm like a fucking grandma.
Cops are the most dangerous in traffic.
The cop
They're so dangerous
in traffic. The cop was literally driving the wrong side of the road against traffic in the bike lane. Like half, so they're like half in the bike lane, half in the street, driving at me, playing fucking chicken with their lights off.
What the fuck is their problem?
And it was nighttime, and then they turned their lights on, and they just, like, tried to fucking just, like, get at me. And I'm like, why? What? Just to kill me.
And there's
no reason.
Like, the thing, like, it's like, you know, there's nobody to hold them accountable for any of that shit. And they do it all the time. They'll just cut through traffic just because they're fucking lazy.
They do it for fun. They do it for fun. They don't even care. It's like that, the world's most dangerous comedy shit, you know, that on Netflix.
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. So it's like that guy, Larry, and I forget what his name is. He was the producer for the Borats and
Hulu, I think. Is that?
It's on Netflix.
It is?
Oh. Yeah, I don't have Hulu.
Okay. I heard about this, but I haven't watched it yet. That guy.
Yeah, they had like the interview on Chapo and everything, so yeah. I'm not trying to step into their zone. But I do think there is something to like the relativity of comedy where they're talking to the warlord and the warlord's like, yeah, it's fucking funny. Like AI ate a human and I like killed a person and I laughed because I dragged their body behind a truck or something.
And that's like, all cops and all ruling class and all people with any sort of, like, power over people's lives.
Well, and then they had, like, the Sadists. Veteran humor, too. And it's all just sort of dealing with your own PTSD and dealing with the fact that your job is to conduct these horrendous experiments in civility.
Yeah, it's just it's psychologically baked in. Whether they're sadists or not, they have to become one to survive their job.
Fucking suck, dude.
I hate that. Speaking of like immense rich white privilege, not that the fucking cops are bad no matter what, like. Because, you know, what? Whether they're white or not, the cops are bad.
Oh, here we go.
The story going around today.
Ha-cha-cha. Mr. Shameless.
Why the college admissions scandal is so absurd. For the parents charged in a new FBI investigation, crime was a cheaper and simpler way to get their kids into elite schools than the typical advantages wealthy applicants receive. It's so bizarre because the FBI cracked down on a bunch of like weird fake college applications that like actresses and like whatever wealthy families did some sort of like dealings with the schools to get their kids into the schools. But it's just it's so bizarre because it's like this was illegal. They do this so much. Like,
yeah, I don't really understand what the whole the whole isolated issue is, because so it's like what's her desperate housewife lady was like, oh, I'm gonna give this organization $15,000, but that's what rich people do to make the world go around because nobody pays any taxes.
Yeah.
And then, but that's the whole thing though with Mary Boone that happened. It was like, oh, wait a minute, but this lady didn't pay her taxes and she was just giving money all around to these different businesses instead. And there's literally no difference between the money laundering that goes on in every single like wealthy person's life as a practice and a rule.
It makes me it's just curious to me, because like, why are they singling out these rich people?
They did something else. Anytime you see a rich person get in the news like this, and you know, it's some kind of like, oh, they're not using their money right. It's really like, oh, you fucking sneezed on the diplomat or something. Like you, you forgot to wipe at the Eyes Wide Shut party or like.
Right. Because I'm wondering, like with Mary Boone, I feel like she was probably singled out because she didn't really start out rich.
Well, no, she was singled out for like a weird deal, I guess, that she made. Where like she sold somebody a thing that is gonna really skate over this one. she sold someone who was also a prominent figure in the world a thing that was not what it was purported to be, and that upset all of the people who are powerful. And then it was like, we're going to audit this bitch.
Yeah. But whereas, like, if any of those Chelsea galleries, would they all be sent to prison?
They should. Everyone has done.
Yeah. Right? That's what I'm saying.
All of them should go to prison if this is something that you can go to prison for. Which, also, how many years did Mary Boone get? And then fucking, what about Manafort?
No, fucked up.
Did she get more time than him?
I'm not a very good fact checker, but I guess I could look this up.
I mean, it's just bananas, people. We gotta regulate here. Especially if it's like, okay, so I know that people are like, well, you know, it's super fucked up because this poor person got put in jail because they had a joint. Or whatever, they smoked a weed one time and they're in jail for a billion D years. But then this rich guy, he goes to jail for not as many years. And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, the system's unjust. But then if you look at two people who are like equivalently rich or something, and then you break it down there, like what?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Apparently Paul Manafort is still being sentenced for something else.
Oh, hey, so they can tack it on there.
No, yet.
All of the skull fucking that he's been doing.
Right. You don't touch that one. It's a precious art object. It's a Damien Hirst.
Yeah. Oh, gross. Like a Damien Hirst fleshlight thing. I don't know. Just next. Like diamond encrusted fleshlight.
The Metropolitan Museum of Art will run red with the blood of the bourgeois. Ah, ah, ah. It's a Neo Yokio joke. Sorry.
Come on, folks. There's demons in that skull.
Fuck, man. Sorry, this is like kind of an all over the place episode. But the point is, rich people are getting caught by the FBI for some reason. Actresses arrested. Actresses, I don't really know who they are. I mean, I recognize the name Felicity Huffman.
She's a Desperate Housewife.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, yeah, that's the thing. Like, okay, so at my school, there are definitely kids of famous people. Mm. And they, like, it's like a thing in every school, I thought. Like,
how did they get here?
I don't know.
Watching the days go by. They failed to get into an Ivy League school.
Yeah. That's, like, mostly it, right? I mean, I don't really. Ivy League schools, they're all, like, legacy rich people. Like,
yeah, that's the whole point.
That's the whole point.
The reason why people want to get into an Ivy League school is so that they can hobnob.
Social climbers.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, well, at least I can work with my friends.
Could you imagine, like, being so fucking obsessed with, like, getting your child into an Ivy League that you give, like, $6 million to, like, some fucking expansion, like, gentrification project, like, in Columbia, like, like,
oh, yeah.
Like what we talked about last week, like, you give for, like, some bullshit, like, expansion or whatever the fuck, instead of just, like, giving your child the $6 million, like, in a trust fund for them to just, like, have the interest, they're like, yeah, you know, just have, like, money and let them do what they want with it.
Yeah, it's completely insane because the wealth ensures that people are going to live their lives performatively. They're going to be like, listen, it's not a secret. Don't come at me. I'm a public figure because I have this money. But look at me now. I just put it over there.
Now my name is on a building.
Mm-hmm.
That's my life.
The money's not here anymore, so you can't pitchfork me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can't pitchfork that building that got built in my name either, sucker.
Because it's nice and you like it.
See you at the crudité.
Nancy, I love the Taconic. I love it.
It's Taconic.
It's beautiful. I always talk about the Taconic on this podcast.
Oh my God.
But it's a gorgeous. You drive down the road, your nice Sunday drive, all the plants.
It's true, it's nice. It's, I love just, to get out of the city.
It's just gorgeous. But you're a big fat cunt. You fucking like awful human being who murdered gay people and are a sociopath piece of shit.
Well, you know, and think about that on a Sunday drive.
And that money should have gone to people so that they could have stayed in their bodies and their homes and lived full lives. And that road, the Taconic, doesn't need to be a big windy death trap, insane thing, because it's also extremely dangerous to drive on. It could have just been a regular road.
Well, when you put it that way, it's almost like kind of, what's the point, you know?
I mean, now you think about how fucking, you know, we got like the Woodrow Wilson Library at, I don't know, Yale, Harvard, whatever, which one. And you have like the student body being like, this guy was a slave owner. We hate him. We don't want this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, that's the thing. You put your name on a thing and then people are going to look up your name and be like, we don't want it. We don't want you, the Sacklers.
Yeah. We don't. Well, it's kind of weird how far this trend is working its way through all areas of culture, too. Like,
Lucia, do you remember the story about the sanitation worker at, I think it was Yale.
Oh.
And he was either a cafeteria or sanitation worker, and he would come into work every day and have to look at this, like, stained glass depiction of, like, slavery. And then one day he just smashed it.
Yeah.
And, like, quit.
That's good. That's highly
encouraged.
That's
one of my favorite stories.
Just like, you know what? Actually, fuck this. I wonder if I'll ever be able to work in a deli or a fucking basement again. Here goes nothing.
Legend.
Yeah, that rules.
Wonderful.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful when people decide to take down the monuments, you know? I don't understand, though. There's one aspect of it that it's, I'm just thinking, I'm not going to watch the Michael Jackson documentary. I'm not going to do it. Because it's the same. It's like, hey, listen, you know, this Michael Jackson character really got pretty far in the world, didn't he? You know, at what cost? And it's like, dude, I was alive. I just remember the news. And there's all of these terrible things that are happening. And it is to a certain extent.
Why,
like,
why are we rehashing this? We all know that
because
this happened.
Because people are still listening to Michael Jackson. And it's just like, you know, we gotta stop. Everyone forget about it. Or something. I don't know.
No, it's like, it's so weird. Like, another big Twitter trending topic for, like, days, it wouldn't go away, it was this, like, Bill de Blasio is getting shit for dancing to R. Kelly, I Believe I Can Fly.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, yeah.
Wow, a terrible person and another terrible person.
Yeah.
And they're all terrible. Oh, we got a tweet coming in.
Here we go.
Yeah, Joey just brought us a little fact check.
It's Katie Honan, who is a friend of the podcast. Not really, but we met her after that de Blasio thing that we ran into.
Yeah, Katie's a great journalist. What's up?
Yeah, her business. We have her business card because we ran into her.
We worship your business card. It's surrounded by a rose.
The song is from Space Jam, which is 1996. Erolius asks of the mayor, who sang along to "I Believe I Can Fly" by R. Kelly in a South Carolina church this weekend. The mayor says people should let it go, which is another popular song from a movie. Great, great
zinger. Thank you, de Blasio.
What's that?
Errol
Lewis. Oh,
yeah,
Errol Lewis. It was a handle. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Fuck, like, that's it's so frustrating to see people expend so much energy at this old man singing an old man song. Where we should be expending our energy yelling at this old man for his awful policies. I don't know.
We can do it all, though.
We can do it all.
I just think, take what you got.
You know what I hate? I hate Twitter. Twitter moments, yeah. Like, just sort of, like, trying
Twitter
to...
Too.
Like, Twitter's, like, curates the thing to be like, oh, it's about... The conversation that's happening on Twitter right now is about this and R. Kelly and problematic, but really it is a mix of people being like, the mayor's a big fucking idiot, huh? Mm. For a lot of different reasons.
Well, yeah, that's the whole mixture of things. People are trying to figure out what they want to throw away. And when you're a mayor, it's really easy to say, get rid of the whole package, you know? Just stop it. Don't try to connect to us through anything.
Right.
Because honestly, what is happening? You're going to shut down the N train now? Open up the stairs. I want to take the train.
So to loop back around to call out culture.
Yeah, we're experiencing it. It manifold.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you know, the Michael Jackson doc, the John Wayne Playboy interview went viral. Like all this stupid. Like it's. I guess it's cool. Like some people are like cluing in or starting to pay attention to. Like, oh wow, all this stuff that I was conditioned to like is really fucked up, and that maybe it's helping people figure out like, oh yeah, culture is systemically really fucked up, like, and like towards, you know, women, black people, any like gay people, like, and it's baked into a lot of like popular American culture.
Yeah, cultural hegemony is predicated on the necessity to create another and to rip on them mercilessly.
Right. I mean, like, I think it is good that people maybe are introspective about like their behavior, or like their friends' behavior, or, and then maybe hopefully ultimately society's behavior, and maybe that's like a good path for some people.
I think it's definitely a part of the experience of maturation, but the end result always seems to be like the moment in that Rick and Morty episode, like Raising Gazorpazorp, where it's like Morty gets a kid who grows up in a day.
Lucia's canceled for liking Rick and Morty.
I like Rick and Morty, and I'm going to be like mad controversial. I'm sorry. The Council of Ricks, also evil Morty for president, the assassinations.
Look, I'm just pissed off that there's a planet of Ricks and they don't invent communism.
Like, they do. No, you watched
No,
it, though?
I have. I'm behind.
The whole thing is that there's a citadel of Ricks.
No, I know about that.
And it is completely decimated by like anarchistic terrorism because of the Rick that is the most Rick. And then when they reform the Citadel, it's this, like, chaotic sort of, like, cop drama of a planet where there is one, there's, like, one chance for this, like, elective form of government to be turned over from Ricks to Mortys.
Right.
And so there's, like, this one...
But the Morty's evil.
Well, the thing is that the Morty gives a spot-on, like, socialist platform and just, like, preaches this entire, like, unification program. And it's vague as all politics are, because what the fuck is the Green New Deal? Like, can anybody tell me, please?
No, but what was distracting to me was, why was there factory workers where, you know, like...
What do you mean? The factory workers who were making Simple Rick's cookies?
Why would there be factory workers at all in this Citadel?
Because their entire original formation of the Citadel was completely broken down, and then they address it in the speeches like, yeah, it's totally fucked up that there are Ricks working for other Ricks, even though you have the same intelligence and same capability.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense that some Ricks should be subjugated to others. And it's like, yeah, totally, how are we gonna fix this? And they're like, oh wait, it's because we live, that's how we live, and there's no answers. And then we're like mad at a cartoon.
Yeah, mad at, I don't know.
And that's just, yeah, it's like, same thing, call out culture. Like,
yeah.
Just getting mad at Rick and Morty because it's fucking, because
there's
like,
nothing else. There's no power over, I can't, there's nothing I can exert power over in my life. So I'm just mad at a cartoon.
Yeah, it's just, it's amazing. Like, so it goes stupid. So far. And like, most, well, ultimately,
I mean, I'm
yeah.
also, I get colored by the, you know, just like the history of fucking Dan Harmon being a piece of trash to people. And
well, the thing is, like, Dan Harmon is kind of like a drunk guy who tries really hard to get dates. And yeah. it's like, yeah. And then he thought that if he could, like, get TV shows and become the head of the right
multiple
yeah of like all these TV you know
yeah
and it actually the power doesn't even work for him, you know.
Bitch,
and that's what's so
sad.
That's what's
you're
so funny
sad.
About the whole thing.
No, I get why it's compelling to you. It makes sense.
It's yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like,
no, and it's compelling to me too in a way. Like, I'm just like,
oh,
I'm
we've
also,
all gone yeah. there. We've all looked at
yeah.
it.
No.
I mean, come on.
No, I know. No, I'm more like, ugh, I'm watching Rick and Morty about it, and you're more embracing.
I'm more like, do, 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 do,
I'm more like, why am I giving this my time?
Oh, no.
Just like,
fair. That's fair.
But... wow, tangent.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, it all makes sense because it's all... because he, you know, he's an interesting case because his apology to one of the, like, Megan something, one of the his writers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one who called him out.
Yeah, and that was good.
Yeah, he actually started a whole show called Whiting Wongs where in real time... he receives sensitivity training by one of the women on that was like a writer on the Pickle Rick episode, which was like top, you know, if you something. If you get into that nerddom,
yeah,
if you know it, like she's just like laying into him. She's like, dude, you're racist and you're sexist and you're a fat old drunk piece of shit. And he's like, okay, how do I change? Yeah. And that's every episode.
Yeah. Yeah, they both need Marxism.
But it's really funny, like, looking at their early writings. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I looked at the Dan Harmon book. And he's talking about,
guys,
like...
for people who don't know, Lucia was obsessed with the fucking Justin Roiland podcast.
Oh,
for years, right?
Yeah, I still am.
Yeah.
Justin Roiland is my guy. Yeah. And I feel the true genesis obviously comes from him.
Even though
him.
He said some really fucked up anti-union stuff, which he's since apologized for.
Yeah. Well, he's a complete anarchist, though. I mean, he's like...
he's just nuts.
He's,
yeah, he's
so
just nuts
far out.
Yeah.
And the... well, I just like him because the whole thesis of his work is that... imagination is this force in life that cannot be quantified or controlled. And eventually, like, the world will try to beat you down if you exhibit too much of it. And I'm like, yeah.
That's very you. Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, totally. Dude, fucking thank you. Somebody said it.
No, it reminds me, one of my best friends, Kimberly, shout out Kimberly, she, like, hates... going to museums. She's an excellent artist and musician, and really smart about art history and all this stuff, but she is like, she's sort of like neurally atypical and can't really tone her voice down in these settings.
Yeah.
So when like the security guards are like, shh, it yeah. like really, really... it really is upsetting. And that's like, that's sort of like tamping down. It's like if a museum or a library, these things are supposed to be public places, mm-hmm. then why can't people be loud in them sometimes? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
why can't people just exist?
Yeah.
Why is the world built to destroy us?
And so, like, people like that, that sort of, like, anarchist sort of, like, can't, don't want to be conformed, don't want to be contained energy. I can respect it.
Yeah. Well, it's a little different because it's like there's a different hierarchy involved in like comedic structure, I guess, also, where it's not just like everyone is for themselves, but if you are the funniest, you're like the new king. And then you get to blow off the government. Like their final episode of season 3, Rick and Morty blow off the United States.
Oh, that's great. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
And there's a president based off of Obama, and his crack team of scientists, like the Department of Defense, make really, really shitty sci-fi stuff that works poorly. And he gets all pissed off because, you know, Rick and Morty are just zooming around and, you know, teleporting and stuff. And he's like, well, goddamn it. Now y'all are enemies of the state. And they're like, bring it on. The state don't mean nothing. We live in the whole universe, dog.
Yeah, and I think that sort of underlying thing is why it's a populist sort of show that kind of has grown a kind of populist fan base, I would say.
Yeah.
Like,
and it makes dummies feel cool and smart.
And that's good in a way. It just sucks that it's all, you know.
It's hard. It's hard to see. Tinged
by, you know, sexism and dumb shit.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Eventually, Beth is going to really blossom, I hope. You know, I hope that she's really going to take her solo career on the road. We'll see.
Wow. The Rick and Morty episode.
Sorry, I didn't know. I wasn't expecting to bust that shit out. I usually keep it down because people are so hateful of it.
This is you coming out.
I love that shit. 12-year-old boy. I love that. I love Venom.
Love Venom.
Yo, get at me if you need a date to the middle school dance.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, I feel like it kind of, because I wanted to talk about Zardulu a little bit. Zardulu.
Hell yeah.
Is a whack job prankster artist who did Pizza Rat. Like,
Zardulu has a little bit of like a Moondog kind of vibe with the robes.
Yeah, it's some sort of, I don't know. I don't know much about it, to be honest, but I want people to remember that Pizza Rat was a piece of performance art. And like a trained rat to go down the stairs with a slice of pizza. Because today on the timeline, everybody was talking about how there was a rat in the MetroCard machine.
So wait, where was this MetroCard machine, though?
I don't know. It could have been anywhere. It's just like a very like staged photo of a MetroCard machine and a rat. And I'm just like, did people forget? People forget that there's like a subway rat artist who's just like, you know, on Twitter and like, hasn't gone anywhere.
They do.
They just forgot.
They don't even care. They're like, oh my God, I've never seen a rat before. Even, maybe it even goes that far.
Zardulu trains rats to do pranks in the subway.
Yeah.
Don't forget, get everyone. Into it.
Why was it in the MetroCard machine?
I don't know.
Like in the place where you put...
In the receipt place.
Oh, no.
And then there was a rat stuck in a sewer grate. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, I saw that. It was too round.
Too round.
Round boy. Oh, no. Save the round boy.
And then they called the fire department to save the rat.
It's important. I love it when the departments that are paid... you know, like to take care of situations, have photo ops. They love rats.
I mean, better the firefighters than the cops, I guess, but they're still, I don't know.
Yeah.
Very bizarre to send 20 dudes to a rat when they are trying to exterminate the rats from the sewer.
That's the whole, yeah, it's like a little soft edge. hey, we're also going to hold rats in our next calendar.
Oh, my God. See, yeah, if they were going like a more experimental approach to their copaganda, that would be interesting.
Yeah. Tease us a little bit. See what we'll accept. We can't hate you any more than we already do.
Oh, my God.
Go and become artists.
So I guess this episode's theme is like weird structures of accountability that don't really work. Yeah. Whether it's the FBI cracking down on random rich people here and there.
Well, I think it's a show. I think it's all a show relating to call-out culture. And they're like, oh, what kind of concessions can we offer?
I'm there. I believe you. Because it is, it's these little tiny, like, sprinklings of things to remind people, like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the cops and the FBI, they'll just take care. They'll catch the bad guys.
Right. And it's like, we've been so upset about the wealth disparity that it's like, oh, actually, our government is taking care of it for us.
They'll take care of it.
They're totally doing it, you guys. We don't need to worry because look at this. Rich people are giving money to schools and also sending their kids to schools, but this doesn't need to go on.
But look, the FBI caught some of them, so then that'll stop it. That'll stop all the other bad behaviors. It'll scare them off.
All of it.
It'll scare them off and they'll just stop doing it.
Yeah, because listen, if anything, rich people live in fear.
Oh, God. These folks are going to get nothing. They're not going to go to jail.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to get fined, maybe, but they'll write it off some weird way and not actually lose a significant amount of money. It's all a show. You're right. It's a show. And like, yeah, whatever. Call out culture, cancel culture. It's a similar show. It's like people on social media showing that they're outraged.
Mm-hmm.
As a way to like try to enact something.
Yeah.
And then they get a couple of small.
I'm definitely not watching that show anymore.
They get a couple like low hanging fruits and it just ends up causing a bunch of residual damage to innocent people. And nothing like that different ends up happening. Like you get, you know, the new cool woke editor in chief, and on the surface everything's great, everyone's losing their jobs behind the scenes, you know.
Right. And it's more like, I think what everybody forgets is we focus on these highly visible aspects of our society, but there are just giant swaths of people who are suffering in ways that don't ever get coverage. Even it just, it's like, oh, sorry, you live somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
And you just work at a grocery store
with all this Ilhan Omar stuff. That's been like dominating the news cycle for days. People trying to pin her as an anti-Semite, like it's so fucking disgusting.
Yeah, that's been an interesting cross section of call out, because it's like then you get the whole regressive, like, hey, you're not allowed to talk about our allied state like that.
And then what gets lost in all of that is the hundreds of Palestinians that are murdered by the United States and the Israeli governments, like, every day, every week, like, whatever. Yeah. It is, like,
just treated
constantly
completely inhumanely as if they were terrorists because they're like walking around the Gaza Strip.
You have fucking like, Netanyahu. You have Bibi Netanyahu literally saying that the Israeli state is for Jews exclusively.
Well, now he's doubling down on it. Yeah. Which before it was a little more like, hey, you know, it's kind of cool. Come to Tel Aviv. We'll just have a rave or whatever. And now it's just like, sorry, I don't know if you saw this was on the label.
Yeah, the only citizens recognized by Israel are the Jewish people. Like, whatever the fuck he said. Like, that's fucking genocidal. Like, that's fucking serious. And that's what's getting lost in all this fucking garbage. Ilhan Omar and then Meghan McCain.
Oh, I know.
Inserting herself into the fucking thing, being like, oh, I'm crying on television because I care about Joe Lieberman.
Yeah. Like,
fuck you. Dude, fuck you.
Listen,
people
she's
are dying.
Scared, though.
Like,
she's scared.
Ilhan Omar's mosque was fucking bombed. The mosque she prays at in Minnesota. Like, fuck you. The Palestinians are dying.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, that's what's lost when you get the fucking fragile ass white people, rich white people being like, it's actually anti-Semitic tropes and it deserves a nuanced conversation. And even AOC being like, all listen to each other, big powwow, like whatever the fuck, like
well, she's,
kumbaya
she just
shit.
Sees she's the on. Writing on the wall, though. Because unfortunately, the way that our conversations have been set up around Israel is that, like, you have to be a really specific person to be able to talk about it. Like, if you are Muslim or if you are Jewish, like, you're allowed to talk about it. And it's really fucking unfortunate that, like, we could be, you know, a room full of people in Brooklyn and, you know, someone is just like, I don't know, guys. I just really hate it when people are genocided and the Palestinians are getting shot just because they're, like, existing in the wrong place. But, you know, they kind of exist in their homes. And maybe they could exist in their homes, like, that have roofs, you know? Maybe that could be, like, a little step up. I don't know. I mean, I'm fucking stupid. So what the fuck do I know? But, like, honestly, you're not allowed. You can't. People will just explode in your face if you, like, say it to the wrong person. They'll be like, you don't understand. And then you go down this rabbit hole that's about, like, God only knows what. And then people start bringing the alt-right into it, which is really interesting. It's fucking HR1 thing. I think, like, the evolution of that, like, law, I guess now it's like law, that it was like everything getting tacked onto it was so telling. And I'm fully appreciative of the way that, like, this actually covers, like, all hate speech against so many different groups. But it was like, well, hold on a second, because, like, there's so much anti-Semitism here in America that we're gonna have to, like, rope this whole thing all together instead of just, like, addressing the fact that right now people are getting shot and it's like a human rights violation.
Right. No, it's not. It's they don't frame it like, they only frame human rights violations if it helps United States imperialism.
Right.
Like, that's the only time they'll actually bring up, like, human rights and admonishing a country for it.
Like, it's
like
how they're doing with partner.
Like, that's how what they're doing with Venezuela, you know.
Right.
Being like, yo, it's an atrocity, they have no electricity. Bitch, it's because the fucking U.S. back coup took out the generators. We're watching a coup happen. We're watching it happen. Like, who's falling for this?
It's so insane. It's so confusing, too, because it's like, oh, you know, Maduro is sending, like, boxes of food to everyone and just being like, okay, like, we're going to get back on track, right, everyone? And then, like, I don't know, how do you say his name? Guaido?
Which one? The new one?
Yeah, Guiato. I can't.
The United States one?
Yeah, Guiato is the United States one, but he's all like, so anyway, I was thinking maybe the military belongs to me now. But it's super weird because they're doing this border thing where then, like, Maduro is saying, close off the border to Brazil. And then Guiato is just. Yeah, and then, but then Guiato is the United States guy, and he's like,
Guido.
I can't.
No, I just remembered.
Guido. Yeah, I can't speak.
No, it's fine.
Anyway.
I totally forgot it until now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's. So Guido is just like, what about, no, we could actually keep the borders open and then, like, receive humanitarian aid. And then that's like, what the fuck, what is anybody talking about?
Yeah, well, it's like the aid is like, it's
United States coming in and, like, actually just setting up an oil rig.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, it literally like a Looney Tunes cartoon of, like, you know, it says humanitarian aid, but it's actually an anvil falling on.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's Acme aid. Yeah. You open it up and it's just a bunch of anthrax.
Yeah. Literally, like, it's so.
So, hey, you're not hungry anymore. Ha ha.
Like, cause, that's the thing. Maduro asked for, like, independent UN, observers of the aid or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And the United States was like, no.
Yeah. Well, because usually what happens, yeah, there's like a ton of NGOs whose, like, bread and butter is to just swarm around an issue and be like, I got a bag of rice over here. Hey, have you considered Catholic Relief?
Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck this. It's so fucking frustrating that all this shit's going on and fucking Nancy Pelosi and the goddamn Democrats are like, we're gonna waste all this fucking time we're gonna have a call in. Even AOC being like, we're gonna call in Ilhan Omar and just talk about it. And like,
oh my God.
Like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Like, this is so obviously in total bad faith. And you have all these Republicans voting against.
Yeah. Dude, that ruled so hard. Actually, like, fuck that. Hate speech is free speech, bitch.
Yeah, like, you have a, like multiple, like, literal white supremacists, like Steve King and, like, the, like, actually, like, total monstrous pieces of shit that should not be tolerated to have be anywhere near, like, making laws at all. Like,
seriously,
like, have an intervention about that would actually, like, even though that is, like, kind of ridiculous.
Well, there is a little tiny slice of call out culture with the whole, like, well, we gotta make sure our elected officials have never done blackface. And, like, way to go,
everybody. That didn't do anything.
Yeah. Except for it really titillated people at dinner parties. It was
That's what the whole thing is.
I can't believe it. I can't believe that.
It makes me so mad, the, like, amount of discussion topics with politics are just, like, dinner party fodder and, like, nothing. Yeah. Nothing else.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's basically, like, virtue signaling is the peacockery of our age. Can you put together the right combination of wokeness to get a date at the DSA meeting? And we're all gonna get together and we're gonna debate if it's a good idea to endorse Bernie Sanders or not, because we've got so many fucking other options out there.
We're going to spend weeks and weeks and weeks on it. We're going to spend weeks and weeks on, like, tiny minutiae, like, you know, how to phrase an email.
Yeah.
All this bullshit.
Look, it's just that, like, it's not the most revolutionary thing we could possibly do. So let's, like, shoot ourselves in the feet and then the kneecaps and then you know what? Convince everyone else to come over. Do it to them, too. Just let's not move anywhere. Let's just melt together as a planet because everyone's doing
something
wrong.
Dude, the AFL-CIO came out against the Green New Deal.
Well, the Green New Deal... I
know. We've talked about how it's not very good.
I don't know what... Well, yeah. It's not good or bad.
No, it's like nothing.
It just doesn't make any sense. It's like, okay, what is your understanding of retrofitting? And does anybody understand that the manufacturing required to create all of like the tools necessary to make everything green is going to increase our carbon footprint so much that we need to like reconfigure the whole trajectory for that?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, everybody loves simple, heartfelt statements like, we're going to come together.
Yeah, and it gets the kids all up on Dianne Feinstein's ass, which is cool and good.
Yeah, true.
Because, like, it, you know, the Green New Deal is, of course, better than the absolute nothing that the Democrats have had to offer thus far.
Yeah, it's awesome that they're talking about it. I fully support, and I want a logical underpinning to the Green New Deal, and I think we need to go further. There needs to be like a scientific and economic rigor that we put into this program, and there should be like a huge flood of like funded research that actually helps us to understand what this would entail, because retrofitting is a cool word, but it's like, how do you change your entire electric grid?
Right. And I'm also, I think I understand the concerns of the AFL-CIO, because like a lot of what happens when this stuff gets neoliberalized, and especially like with, you know, new technologies, like disruptor tech people, is they'll just, you know, they'll come in with a new labor force and like circumvents all of the union protections of these industries have built up, where I think a comprehensive Green New Deal would directly speak to the largest union organization in the world and be like, we want you to be a part of this process and how we decide to go about phasing out jobs that are bad for the planet and phasing people into new jobs that aren't destroying the planet.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're just weirded out because of some kind of lobbying issue that they have, like, but, you know, it's sort of the language that is built around the, like, job opportunity sort of, you know,
well, I feel this way about the
bullet points.
I feel about this way about Medicaid for All too, is like, I think at the forefront of to assuage people is like, we have to be like, there's stuff in place for the people whose jobs are going to be displaced by this program that is absolutely 1,000% necessary for our country, or the world should have quality medical care on demand for free.
Yeah. We have the technology.
But it shouldn't come at the expense of people's livelihoods. So that's part of how we're crafting the program with that in mind, you know.
And the entire, you know, if you zoom out of the picture, everyone is already experiencing such precarity. It doesn't really matter if there's a union presence or if there are people who are hired on to any, like, insurance company.
Right.
For X amount of years. It's right. Just like, you're going to experience the same amount, hopefully a little bit less, of this insecure position. And like, you know, ideally if we actually do take the time to map out how many jobs this creates as a plan of socializing medicine and labor, then I don't know, complain about it then. Yeah. But if you're like, it's like, I'm not for an idea because I'm over here. Well, like, it's so vague. Everything is just, it's not even a real plan yet.
Yeah, I guess, like, it's, you know, both these things, Medicaid for All and Green New Deal, they're both things that we need, but we just aren't, nobody is actually sure how it's going to play out.
Yeah, and they actually have, I'm sure that people actually don't know how to do the math.
Math is, the thing with, like, math and stats, we talked about this before, yeah. But, like, it's really, it can be construed, like, depending on who's looking at it, like, in all these different ways.
Yeah.
So it's just like...
But you have to come up with something. You have to say, all right, the world is chaos, but this math is secure.
Well, the material grounding, of course, is that people are dying from preventable things. People deserve...
At an increasing rate.
Yeah, people deserve healthcare no matter what. That's just, like, standard... Should everybody deserve healthcare?
Yeah. Life expectancy is going down.
So it's like, we're just, sorry.
We're
like,
failing.
Like, that's just like.
We're failing at life.
And then the other material reality is the planet is dying, and we won't make it through the next couple of generations unless we do fucking something.
Yeah.
So.
Which is cool. I saw that there's some scientists at Harvard that are back on the sulfate distribution idea, which is like to spray particles into the sky. So they're actually going to start doing that. And there's another think tank that's like, oh, you guys, you know, we've spent... hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe millions, to say that trees might actually help if we plant them. They might do something. But that there's some jobs there, you know? This is still real fledgling stages. You know, we're trying to see what trees will really do to help us.
You know how the TSA is sort of like a bullshit sort of like catch-all job that the yeah. government provides for like kind of anybody can apply yeah. and
stand there and like, fondle yeah, people.
Like, what if they did that for plant trees?
Yeah.
The New York City does a
program. They already do that in like every other country.
Yeah. And New York City does like little programs here and there. Like there's one like for when it snows, like they'll just hire anybody, like people who are like on benefits, on public benefits, like
oh, totally.
They'll get an email being like, oh, do you want to shovel snow for the city? We'll give you $15 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Do that for trees.
That's legit. Yeah, there's a Green NYC plan, too. Yeah. I mean, there are places where it's like, oh, we repopulated all of these parks, and now they look nice.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's insane. Like, you know, China, India, Japan, Russia, they, like, all of these countries... have large-scale projects for reforestation. Africa, giant program.
Yeah, I listened to a story about our reforestation in the Midwest and the West mm-hmm. Coast, and they're so underfunded.
Yeah.
They're so underfunded and, like, losing the battle against, like, big real estate out there because real estate just totally. Keeps... manicuring the lawns.
Oh yeah,
in the wrong way.
Fucking grass thing. Yeah. Everyone is like, oh, let's reroute all of this water, cause some droughts in other places, so that we can plant this thing that's not native to any place that it's grown.
And they wonder why their house catches on fire when fire season starts. And
when there's a fire season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, there wouldn't be a fire season if the original, like, wildlife was able to
actually regulate.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's incredible.
We're going on a big rant. We better wrap it up.
Mm-hmm. I know. Sorry, everybody. Get mad and plant a tree.
Oh, God.
Just plant a tree. Anytime you feel the need to complain about something that someone named Megan does. Any Megan. Just, you know what? I'm going to actually just go plant a tree. I quit. I cancel myself out of this.
Oh, am I canceled for calling Nancy Reagan a fat cunt?
Dude, no. Nancy Reagan blows. She single-handedly gave the worst advice of all time.
Like, I don't mean fat as in, like, that bad. I think fat people are superior. I mean that she is, like, a giant cunt.
Yeah, like...
Like, she's a big cunt.
Well, when you look at her, it's just, like, there's this slit that's, like, vertical in the middle, like, where her facial features should be. And it's always got, like, weird green slime coming out of it. And it's like her eyes are actually on like the sides of her head where ears should be.
Yeah.
And then there's just this weird mess of like matted, sloppy fur kind of like in a ridge going from the top of where, I mean, I guess you could call it her head, but it just goes down her back.
Yeah.
And she just sort of like flaps and wheezes and then she's like,
right.
She's like, don't do drugs because you might, I mean, you're going to have a bad trip. I'm Nancy Reagan. Look at me. I'm a big fat cunt.
God.
If you have an aeroplane that can fly the world and we can have a fantasy, it doesn't really matter if you drive a limousine. It really doesn't matter if you drive for galaxy. I really don't care if you just drive a truck. I don't care if you just drive a limousine. It doesn't really matter if you drive a Ferrari. I really don't care cause I just love your company. Let's have fun. 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 Lots of fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Let's have fun. Lots of fun.